Good morning.
Good morning.
Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome. I was going that way anyway. Is it fair to guess that most of you probably don't have a real strong relationship with Habakkuk? Is that fair to say? Minor prophet, so I understand. But I will say, I think, I was telling the first service, I think that there are a couple reasons why it's worth looking into Habakkuk. I mean, first of all, there are only three chapters. So, you know, it's really hard sometimes feeling like you pick up that big book, you want to start reading scripture, maybe you made a New Year's resolution, or maybe you just started coming back to church, you pick up that big book, and you start reading, and you can read all day and all night, and still feel like you didn't get anywhere. Habakkuk's only three chapters. You could read for like 20 minutes and be able to say at the end of it, you read a whole book of the Bible, right? So that's nice. Also, if you're one of these people who sometimes find yourself getting pulled into like scriptural debates with folks, this is a great, you can always big time somebody. If they ever mention Habakkuk, you can always say, "You mean Habakkuk?" Or vice versa, works either way, because we don't really know how it was pronounced, so, you know, they don't know either, right? So you just sound smart, and I'm saying these are a couple reasons. I like Habakkuk for a whole different reason. I like Habakkuk because it shows a very different side of God than we sometimes get, or maybe it puts an aspect of God into context that makes sense for me in a way that we don't often get made explicit. It makes the implicit explicit. I'll explain that in just a minute. I also really like this piece that Sue Marie read for us, the importance of making plain the vision, to write it down in a big way, a way that isn't just special knowledge for those of us who are insiders, right? Like, don't just write it on a scroll and put it in the Holy of Holies to pull out every once in a while for the people who come to your church. Make it big so that a runner could see it, so that somebody who maybe isn't even part of your community, just passing by, could see it. It makes me think of, like, in the common context, maybe it would say, put it on a billboard so that everybody just driving by on the interstate could see. The big message between Tucson and Phoenix where I grew up was, there's a big truck on the side that says, "Jesus is the answer." And it always makes me wonder, what was the question? I mean, I think that's true of a lot of things. Jesus is the answer. But I wonder specifically, what was this person's question? But I think about it every time I drive by, so obviously it's doing something. But make plain the vision so that everyone can see that God has a plan. Maybe not in the way that you think, though. I mean, I'm not going to read all of Habakkuk for you, even though it's only three chapters. But I do want to start by, I want to explain a little bit about how it begins. It begins with Habakkuk asking God a question, or maybe it's less of a question, more of a challenge. It begins like this: "How long, O Lord, shall I cry out and you not listen? Shall I shout to you, 'Violence,' and you not save?" Have you ever felt that way before? I mean, have you ever, and by ever I mean like in the last couple of weeks, ever found yourself watching the news and seeing what's going on in like say, pick a spot. Let's say Israel-Palestine and say, God, violence, and wonder why, if you care so much about it, God hasn't done anything to stop it. Or, you know, the issue in Russia and Chechnya, like violence. There's war happening all around us in Sudan right now. Violence. As we watch more troops getting sent to Portland, violence. Chicago, L.A. If we care about these things, why hasn't God done anything about them? How long, O God, will we cry violence and you remain silent? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you look upon wrong? Raiding and violence are before me. Strife continues and contention goes on. That is why decision fails and justice never emerges. For the villain hedges in the just man. Whew. How often does that happen? The person who claims to be carrying out justice, or who is supposed to be carrying out justice, is the very one who, you know, they're talking about justice, but you know they don't care about anybody but themselves. So no wonder we don't see justice in the world around us. Therefore, judgment emerges deformed, or another way of putting that, justice is perverted. Why would you allow this to happen? And God's answer to Habakkuk, you think it's bad now? Oh, it's about to get a lot worse. Habakkuk probably wasn't actually writing during the Babylonian exile, but he was. This book was written to be contextualized within the Babylonian exile. Babylon is there's injustice happening all around, and why would God allow this to happen? And God is saying, you think it's bad now? Wait till you see the Chaldeans. There's another empire coming. These people, they're going to come burn your house down just for fun, and they won't care anything about it. It's going to get a lot worse. Because you allow injustice to thrive in the world, I'm going to allow folks to come in and be even more unjust to you, just to show you that this is what you get. You reap what you sow. Oof. That doesn't sound in keeping with the God that I understand through Scripture. Does that sound in keeping with the God that you understand? I mean, don't get me wrong. We see God depicted this way at various times, and I wrestle with all of them, right? We know that there are times when God tells the Israelites to go and wipe out everybody who's living in the promised land, and then punishes those who show mercy to just a couple of folks, right? Like, that doesn't feel in keeping with my understanding of God, but it's there in Scripture, so I have to wrestle with that. I don't understand it. Apparently, Habakkuk doesn't either. Because rather than responding or just accepting what God has said to him, Habakkuk says, well, then now I guess you understand why nobody can put faith in what you're doing, because you continually allow more unjust folks to come. Is that what's going to bring about the world that you want to see? And is that your mercy and your justice in the world? And then instead of waiting for God, or instead of just expecting God to respond right away again, he says, I'll wait for an answer. Almost as though God hadn't responded the first time. I'll wait for an answer. There's wisdom in that. Because the truth is, friends, prayers aren't always answered in the timely manner in which we want them to be. Things don't always work the way we think that they should. And sometimes when we think we have heard God, we pray, we cry for peace, and the immediate response in the world around us is just more of the same, and we think, is that God's answer for me? But we know that isn't God. We know that's not how God works. And so rather than just accepting that must be God's answer, The wise among us say, I'll wait to hear what God really has to say. And God comes back and says, listen, I know it seems right now like the unjust are the ones winning. I know it feels right now like those who are willing to perpetrate violence have all the power, because those who try to walk in the ways of peace, they just get ground under the wheels of those who are willing to take up arms, right? This is the way the world seems to be working right now. But what I'm telling you is, if you put your faith in your ability to defend yourselves, or you put your faith in violent means, there will always be somebody stronger than you, meaner than you, more a fit, or you'll get older, right? Like, you can't always do what you're able to do right now. Your ability to protect yourself will not always last. There will always be somebody who can do worse. Babylon is the world power right now. They think they're on top, but wait till they meet the Chaldeans. They will see that there is no end to the cycle of violence. If that's where you think your salvation is coming, you're going to be disappointed eventually over the span of time. This isn't a punishment. It's like Jesus saying those who live by the sword will die by the sword. That's not a curse that Jesus is heaping on people. Jesus is saying that's the way the world works. If you put your faith in money, money eventually runs out, or there's somebody wealthier than you. If you put your faith in something tangible that you can do or make or create or hold on to, there will eventually be somebody who can take it away from you. And therefore, it's a false hope. And what's more, if you put your faith in that, how you doing, brother? Good to see you. What's more, if you put your faith in that, and you laud over people the fact that you're stronger, you're more powerful, then when you are pushed down, when you lose that power, who's waiting for you at the bottom when you hit rock bottom? Bunch of folks looking for their revenge, right? Because that's who you've pushed there. Now your community are the people you have lain waste to for so long. That's the justice of the world. It's not God saying, I'm going to do this to you. That's God saying, this is what you do to yourselves when you put your faith in your own ability to save yourselves. But when you invest in the kingdom of God, when you take care of the people who have been pushed to the side, who have no power to protect themselves, who may not even have the things, they may not know where their meal's coming from tomorrow, but today you help them have enough to eat, then when you find yourself at the mercy of whoever's waiting there for you on the margins, when you get beat down by the system because there's always a moment, you'll find yourself surrounded by love. The love that you fostered there. The world cannot take from you the love of those that the world has already dismissed. And so the kingdom of God is not only for those who have been pushed to the side, but the kingdom of God begins in those places that the world has left behind, because they have no false hope. There is no false promise there for them. And so while everybody else is building castles of sand and expecting them to last forever and protect them against the waves, those who have been forced further up beach realize that while they may not have much to build with, what they have will last. I'll wait, because the justice of God is the only thing that will truly last the test of time. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how God is doing a new thing here at Broadway. We can feel it. And I've heard more and more of you say, yeah, we can feel something. What is it, Pastor? I don't know. If you've heard nothing else from me, I hope that you hear this. I don't know, because If we just respond, if we think we know what it is and we just start doing what we think God wants us to do right now, it would be like taking this first answer that Habakkuk gets from God and building a good message, building a hope, a vision to make plain for the people, building a vision on that. The real good news isn't in that first response. And so we have entered a season of deep listening to God with this Broadway prayer that we've been praying, that God will open our ears to what God has to say to us, to open our eyes to see the new thing that God is doing in us and through us out into the community, out into the world, to trust that God is going to do something bigger than our ability to perceive on our own. And so we wait until God has shown it to us so that we can be part of that bigger thing, that real thing. And if you need a copy of that prayer, that Broadway prayer, we have them on the little, there's a little stand built into the wall with the bulletins on your way out. Please grab one. Pray in it every day together, 8:26, either in the morning or the evening, doesn't matter. Pray in it every day because we believe God's doing something. We're listening to the community around us because we know as a church, our call is to be that place where God's vision for the world meets the needs of our community, the community God has placed us in. So we are in that space. We're listening on both sides. And then last week we talked about the need to not just listen, not just to let it go in one ear and out the other, but to be transformed by what we hear. To let it change us into people whose trust is really in this thing that God is doing in us and through us. But then, folks, today, as we talk about amplifying this new thing, it is not enough for us just to find this salvation that God is offering for ourselves. We cannot just have it for us, because the truth is, a salvation that's just for us is not the salvation that God is offering. The salvation God is offering is a salvation for the world that says, this is a different world, a different way of being. And so when we see the message, when we hear the message, we need to be clear with the world about the message of God, the good news, the salvific message of God. Put it out there for everyone to see, even a runner going by the community, to know, so that the folks living on the margins who feel like there is no hope left in this world know that God has not abandoned them and that there is a new thing happening here. And so that those folks for whom the powers and principalities of this world are working for them for now know that there is something more substantial waiting for them in the kingdom of God, that they have options beyond their ability to take care of themselves. It may not always sound like good news to those of us for whom the world is working right now. But in the long run, we will all need it. And God often, Jesus told us with the Beatitudes, right, that blessed are those who are poor, blessed are those who are meek. Woe to you who are rich now. Right? Not because Jesus is cursing us, but because Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is going to feel like a curse when everything is taken away from you first before you can recognize that the real promise was never there to begin with. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Some of you may have heard, and some of you may be feeling some kind of way about the fact that on Friday, on my day off, I was out wearing my collar. Most of you never seen me in my collar. I only wear it when I have to speak to power. I was out, we got word on Friday early afternoon that the superintendent of public schools in Des Moines had been detained by ICE, according to the initial reports, nobody knew why he was being detained. Now, of course, throughout the day, we got more and more information about what was going on, but initially, we were told that that nobody had been informed why he had been detained. We saw that the ICE website said that he was being detained in the Pottawatomie County Jail, and so I and a couple of members from the congregation here and several other people from the community went down to the county jail, and I had a great conversation with the chief deputy down there, and he said he's not here. And what's more, I don't know why the ICE website says he's here. He's just not here. You know, we're trying to decide, okay, so we've got competing stories about whether or not he's here, so who do we believe? So I said, okay, I understand. We're going to wait just to see if maybe he's coming. And he said, that may be, but we don't know. If he is, we don't know. So we don't know when to expect him, if that's the case. But I said, okay, we're just going to wait until we find out that he's someplace else. We're going to wait, right? Until we hear the voice of God, until we see where God is in this situation, we're going to wait. And then we got word that ICE called the deputy, and he came out and talked to us and said that they were actually bringing him to Pottawatomie County jail, but then they heard about the protests, and so then they decided to take him someplace else. And I said, okay, where? And they said, we don't know. And he had been scrubbed from the ICE website altogether, so no information was coming up. And the only news reports that we had said that the St. Paul, the regional office for ICE in St. Paul, said they had no record of his arrest or his detention with ICE. And so we said, well, we're going to wait. And so we spent 7 hours or so outside the Pottawatomie County Jail, holding vigil. Not because we hate ICE, not because of our personal beliefs about immigration policy in this country. I have personal beliefs, but that's not why I was out there. Not because I want to give the Trump administration a black eye, and so I went out there to make some political statement. I went out there because power was being exercised. We have given certain people in our community the power to use force when they deem it necessary, to detain people, to take away their liberty. And so we need to make sure those folks are held accountable. We as Christians should never be the ones who take up arms against people in the community or anywhere, but we should always be the counterpoint to power, to earthly power. That should always be our place. And it doesn't matter if it's this administration or the next administration or the last administration. It doesn't matter if it's for the next 3 years or if a Democrat's elected next or another Republican. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's economic policy and it's economic power that's being used or it's military power. It doesn't matter. We should always be there to watch and hold power accountable. Nobody gets to be disappeared, right? Nobody gets to be picked up, and then we just don't know what happened to them. We weren't out there causing a problem. We were in conversation with the folks. We did the best we could to be respectful and to say, people deserve to know what's going on. We give these people the power. We need to know what is happening. This is a message that isn't just for the people who might get picked up tomorrow. This is a message for the people who might be asked to pick somebody up. If you feel that what you're doing is unjust, there is another way. Your strength is not just in your weapon or in your badge or in your the power granted to you by an organization, even an ecclesial body like the church. My power is not there. Our power is when we stand together and say, we will not allow folks to be pushed aside in our community by anybody. And it's not enough just to wait, to say, we'll wait until it happens to us. Because you know, if it happened to any one of you, I would not stop until I knew where you were, until your family knew you were safe and that you were going to have your day in court. And then I would be there to make sure that your day in court was fair. But it's not enough to wait to make sure it doesn't happen to us, because we're supposed to put it out there, the vision big enough that everybody can see it. This is a vision for everyone. We are all saved through the grace of God, or none of us are. This is not a political message. This is a power message. This is where we say the power of God is in the people standing together and singing songs and being joyful And we do not hate this president, and we will not hate the next president, and we did not hate the last president. We do not hate ICE officials, and we do not hate undocumented immigrants. We do not do these things with hate in our heart. We do them to say, there is another way, there's another power out here, and you can arrest me too. You can, that's your power. But you can't take away the love of our community as we stand up and care for each other. That's the vision. We need to make it plain so that everyone can see it. Until that day when we are all reunited around Christ's heavenly banquet table, may we all get there, and may we not wait until death for it to happen. Amen.